We got to the stage where Yosef becomes viceroy. Chumash tells us he's now 30 years old. And the Barbanel says this shows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was directly involved. Because... Can you quiet them down? Because if out with the, without Hashgacha Pratis, a 30-year-old would have never had this power. And he says he passed it through all of Mitzrayim. He's now the viceroy. He took a tour of everywhere to see what was needed. He became a very well acquainted with the people. He learned about the topology, about the geography, and he was instrumental in warning people about the upcoming famine to happen. And it says that immediately the land started to yield crop, the kmatzim, by handfuls. It was so great, the amount, it's like it's collected hand over fist. Rav David Feinstein Zatzal says, in order to prepare for the famine, Yosef set up controls that not even a handful of grain was unaccounted for. Meaning that he set up a system that there was no longer any waste product. Yosef's granaries became so full that he was able later, as we will see, to be the general merchant in charge of distributing produce on behalf of Paro. There's 7 good years, and it says that Yosef collected grain like the sand of the sea, and there was so much in storage, they basically, it was getting up to a very high number that most people couldn't count it. Then we're told that before the famine occurred, Yosef's 2 sons, right, are born Menashe. He says, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu made me forget all of my hardship and all of my father's household. And then Ephraim, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made me fruitful in the land in which I suffer. Yosef acknowledged that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed him to forget all the difficulties he had had at home with his brothers. And he was able to discern, able to determine a divine plan as to what had happened and how he was now at this very point. Most of them, Mefarshim say, do not think that Yosef tried to forget Yaakov as if to ignore how he would feel. But Yosef, even though he had a mitzvah of kibud of the aim, right? It's the brothers had a shvuah. They made everybody swear that no one would tell what would happen. And apparently Yosef seemed to be bound by it. So what Yosef was saying, some of the Mefarshim said, he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has now given me children, which gives me greater chizuk, greater strength to be able to abide by that shvuah. And because of that shvuah, he didn't do anything. He didn't try to get his father get in touch. And Yosef, we note, still referred to Mitzrayim as the land in which he suffered. He realized that Klal Yisrael's destiny was Eretz Yisrael. And Rav Hirsch points out that the way he named his children showed that he did not have such great respect for the Egyptian way of life, and that he still felt that even though he was number two in command, he was still a stranger there. The 7 years of plenty transpire, and immediately the famine starts. Suddenly and very strongly, and very quickly, the entire population became destitute. They needed now to access Yosef's storehouses to continue to have the sustenance to live. It says that the Egyptians, because it was such a fertile land and because of the Nile originally, became pompous. They became rich. They became successful. And they felt that this was normality. They took their good blessings for granted. And all of a sudden, they're into shock treatment. Oh my gosh, look what happened. It says, people tried to store grain on their own. But Rabbeinu Bachya says that in the second year of the famine, whatever individual people had stored became infested, rotted. Only Yosef's collected grains remained available. And the people now were all dependent on fulfilling what Yosef would require in order to obtain food.
He just had better refrigeration systems, or was it just that...
Probably Hashgacha Pratis, that's what I'm guessing. Yeah. Like HaKadosh Baruch Hu was really setting it up to make it that the Egyptians would be basically first uncomfortable. And then we see that Yosef actually, when he gave them food, so what Yosef did is initially he gave them food. I think he took their livestock as a mortgage. Mm. Later on, when they needed more food, he took their very homes in the land, right?
Right.
It says that when he did that, the priests in Egypt were allowed to keep what was theirs to set up a precedent for the notion of tithes to priests, which would be necessary when the family would come down. Yosef further, in doing his master plan, resettled everyone. Once somebody had basically given up their homestead to the royal treasury, Yosef had the wisdom to know that then you move the person, because as long as they're attached to the real estate they once owned, it's very difficult to feel like it's not mine. So Yosef wanted them to feel dispossessed. He wanted them to feel as if they were strangers in a new area. And that was also to be able to accommodate the eventual descent by Yaakov's family to Egypt, that they wouldn't be the only, quote, newcomers on the block. And we're told that every country in the world came to buy produce from Yosef. And Paro's treasury grew immensely. And we're told by the Zohar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was collecting wealth upon wealth in order to allow Klal Yisroel to take it with them when they would go out of Mitzrayim at the end of the Golus. The Afas Toyer says that Yosef even made the Mitzrim have a bris, because he did a milah on his own children, and I guess that was also to make sure that if any other B'nai Yaakov came, they would not stand out.
So he did it to make sure that he gave his own kids a bris, that it should look like just a normal thing that everybody's
right.
doing. Not that he's
the other thing, Rashi says, is that Mitzrayim was the home of immorality, of perverse sexual deviance. And Yosef had a Kabbalah that if you take the orla, the foreskin, off a guy, somehow it will decrease his depravity level. And that's why he did it. Okay. Then we get to Perek Membeis. And it says, Yaakov realized, he perceived, ki et shever b'Mitzrayim, that there were actual provisions in Mitzrayim. And we're told that Yaakov actually, they had some type of fruit and food, because we know later on they prepare special fruits and foods for Yosef. But Yaakov realized that if people perceived that everyone in the world was in dire need and had to go for provisions in Mitzrayim, Yaakov's family would stick out like a sore thumb not going. And that was another reason why he wanted not to separate from everyone else, not to be a target, eh? And he probably also felt that it was the appropriate thing to do, that when there's a famine in the entire world, you don't just shrug your shoulders and say, you know, everything's okay with me. The other thing the Mefarshim say, the word shever, if you change the shin to a sin, becomes sever, which means hope. Somehow, Yaakov, we're told, had some notion that there was a special hope, a special thing, muzzle attached to going to Mitzrayim. But Yaakov didn't fully understand it, we're told. And he said to all his children, why do you look at one another? Why do you show yourselves as having plenty? In other words, you're not showing to the inhabitants of the land that you're suffering. And he said, I don't want you, I'm going to send you to Mitzrayim, but I don't want you to go laden with the provisions we have. He also said, I do not want the 10 sons who I want to send down to enter through one gate. They were so distinctive looking that there would be no other band of people as looking as distinguished as them, and he was afraid that they would be immediately conscripted into the service of the king. And Rav Sherman says, he quotes many, many Torah leaders who often said, a Yid should never flaunt what they have. You don't try to make the Goyim, the anti-Semites, jealous. right? And therefore, you should not live, as we sometimes say, up to the high standards of the billionaire cones. It says, Yaakov said, Redu, go down. Redu has gematria 210, the number of years they would actually be in Mitzrayim. Yaakov said that to his sons in a prophetic way, as we go down to Mitzrayim, we will get a new lease on living. Yaakov was basically saying, and though he may not have been aware of it, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through the Bris Bein HaBesorim, had said, there's a prerequisite for some type of Golus Mitzrayim for the eventual enhancement of Klal Yisroel. And the Sheba did not have to be as bad as it was. I know that, I'm trying to remember, but in one of the Nevi'im, it says, had you only done tshuva, had you only behaved better in Mitzrayim, you would have not had the, what we're told, was 86 years of terrible, terrible experiences out of the 210. So it says that the 10 sons of Yaakov, excluding Binyamin and obviously Yosef, came to buy provisions because they had to participate in the results of the famine. Now Yosef had set up a system where he felt his brothers would eventually come down. And he instructed those who would allow people through the gates to somehow notice when Yaakov's sons would come. Yosef had made a rule that no one could buy food for more than one household. And I imagine that was known. Therefore, if Yaakov wanted 10 provisions, or for 10 families, he had to send 10. And this was a way that Yosef was attempting to ensure that all of his brothers would appear in front of him. We're told that Binyamin stayed home, and the Aznayim LaTorah by Rav Sorotskin says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranged that Binyamin, who had no hand in the selling of Yosef, would not have to go through the pain and suffering that the brothers would have to go through in front of Yosef. Yosef has the brothers singled out, and I am sure they were surprised that all of a sudden all 10 of them are brought in front of the viceroy, the number 2 Egyptian ruler. This doesn't happen in the normal course of events, and the brothers realized it from the very beginning. The brothers had no way of knowing that Yosef was still alive and that Yosef was the viceroy in front of them. Yosef had guaranteed the system would end up having them brought before them. he said to his officers in charge, when the very first people from Canaan come, watch out, I imagine, for certain characteristics, etc. And if these people such as this show, gather them to me. We're told that the brothers, when they entered through the 10 gates, as Yaakov told them, also had the kavana, that they would look wherever they could in case they could find Yosef, if he were still alive and were in fact in Mitzrayim. And in fact, the brothers are brought in front of Yosef HaTzadik, and were told he recognized them, but they had no idea who it was in front of them. One of the things we're told was when he left at age 17, and now he was probably 37 years old. He had become the viceroy at age 30. He might have been 39. It was 7 years of the good times, 2 years of famine would put him at 39. And now he was a bearded person, not a 17-year-old child. And he was also dressed in the total royal clothing and it was almost impossible to fathom that the person in front of them could have one day been a slave. It was so improbable that what had happened had happened. And I imagine somehow they didn't know how the viceroy came to be, and so they had no idea. They had no concept who this was. The Ramban says that likely, because the Hebrews were seen as a lesser people by all of the Egyptians, Yosef would have partially veiled his face. In other words, in accordance with Egyptian practice, these vile Hebrews should not be able to look full countenance of the monarch, and that would help him as well disguise himself. Okay. Tomorrow we will pick up as to why Yosef hid his identity. And why did he go through this long protracted effort before he told them, Ani Yosef? Okay. Have a wonderful day. Kol Tov. Enjoy. Guten Chodesh. Bracha. I don't think anybody wanna. Bracha Shem.
No distractions.
Yeah.